Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's video, we're going to have a look at what's going on in Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka is not a country that I've covered before on the channel, so I'll give you a little bit of background on the country itself. It's an island that's located very close to India. They were having problems in the country anyway because of COVID and the lack of tourism and the impact that it's had on the foreign currency reserves. But what's going on in Russia right now has really tipped the country over the edge. And we've now got a fuel crisis, and we've got long queues of people trying to get fuel to heat their homes and for cooking. And we've got some social unrest that's starting to appear. And the country is now heading towards a bailout. So in this video, we'll have a look at the economy of Sri Lanka, what's been going wrong, what's happened to their balance of trade, why they've got themselves into the position that they're in right now. I'll talk about the growing levels of debt that there are in the country and the potential for Sri Lanka to default on that debt. We'll have a look at what's happening with the rupee because they've recently had to devalue their currency. I'll talk briefly about the influence of China and the risks of debt trap diplomacy. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Sri Lanka over the next 3 to 6 months and what impact that could have on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos, so if there's a section that you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Sri Lanka is an island located off the southern tip of India, and is often referred to as the teardrop of India or the pearl of the Indian Ocean in reference to the fact that there are a lot of gemstones on the island. The country has a rich diversity of wildlife, including elephants, leopards and crocodiles, and has over 120 species of mammals, more than 220 species of birds, and over 175 species of reptiles. Sri Lanka was formerly called Ceylon and was under British rule from 1815 to 1948. It changed its name to Sri Lanka in 1972. Partly as a result of its former relationship with Britain, there are extensive tea plantations all over Sri Lanka, and it remains its biggest single export product today. The flag of Sri Lanka is considered to be the oldest flag in the world and dates back to 162 BC. The Temple of the Tooth in Kandy has one of the original teeth of Lord Buddha, the founder of Buddhism. Sri Lanka was the first country to appoint a female prime minister in July 1960, and contrary to most countries in the world, Sri Lankans shake their head from side to side when they agree with something. Sri Lanka does not have a wealth of raw materials and therefore is not a rich country. Over 50% of its exports are made up of textiles and garments, which are produced using low-cost local labour. Tea accounts for 17% of exports, and the remainder is made up of a variety of low-cost items, such as spices, coconuts and fish. Around 10% of GDP is made up of tourism, and over 200,000 people out of the population of 22 million are employed directly in tourism activities. Over the last 10 years, the growth in GDP has been low, and the COVID pandemic had a devastating impact on the country. In 2020, tourism was wiped out overnight, and a lot of the industry within Sri Lanka was also badly impacted by the lockdowns and the inability to actually make any of the garments and textiles that they export. Sri Lanka has to import all of its fuel and a lot of food substances and medicines, and the country has been running a negative balance of trade for the last 10 years. The last official figures available are for January 2022 and show a negative balance of trade of over $1 billion. The reduced levels of tourism over the last 2 years, in conjunction with the increase in energy costs, which Sri Lanka has to buy in from abroad, has led to a massive reduction in foreign currency reserves within the country. Since the start of 2020, foreign currency reserves have fallen 70%, and at the end of February 2022, the Treasury only had $2.31 billion left. Now, this is an absolute disaster for Sri Lanka because they have large debt obligations, and also they have to keep buying in fuel and food and medicine and a lot of other essentials for the population, and they just don't have any foreign currency to be able to make those payments. Over the course of the next 6 months, Sri Lanka has more than $4 billion of debt repayments that it has to make. And in addition to that, it's estimated that they will need another $20 billion just to keep the country fed and to keep the lights on. Sri Lanka has focused its electricity production on coal power. Sri Lanka also uses oil and hydroelectricity. And one of the problems that the country has experienced over the last few years is that there's been a shortfall of rainfall, which has led to a lack of water and therefore an underperformance of all of the hydro stations. The majority of Sri Lanka's population use kerosene for heating and cooking at home. The increases in oil and fuel costs that we've seen as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine have been devastating for Sri Lanka. The Treasury has been unable to pay for some of the deliveries, and tankers are refusing to unload their oil. And this led to the main oil refinery in Sri Lanka having to suspend its operations. The lack of fuel deliveries has led to shortages at the pumps and huge queues from the population. And this has led to some major problems. There's reports of somebody being stabbed to death whilst waiting for fuel, and also some older citizens who are queuing dying from heat exhaustion. The situation has got so bad that the army has had to step in, and in some areas where they still have some fuel supplies, soldiers are manning the pumps to make sure that there's no more violence or issues. As well as the problems at the pumps, the power stations are also in short supply. Sri Lanka can't produce enough electricity and is now publishing daily schedules of how long the blackouts will last for each day. The Sri Lankan energy minister recently came out and criticised the authorities and made a statement about the enormity of the problems, and as a result of this, he was duly sacked. In addition to the fuel crisis, there's also major problems with regards to food in Sri Lanka. Alongside tea, a lot of rice is grown in Sri Lanka, which is sold to the local population as part of their daily intake of food. Because the rice is intensively farmed, a lot of fertiliser is used to provide nutrients to the soil to ensure that the yield is maximised for each season. In April 2021, the president of Sri Lanka announced a ban on all chemical fertilisers. The analysis that had been undertaken showed that the chemicals were polluting the water within Sri Lanka, and this was causing health problems for a lot of the population. So the president made a statement that the health of the nation was more important than profit, and therefore nobody was allowed to use chemical fertilizers. They could only use organic fertilizers, such as manure. The result of this change of policy was devastating for all of the farmers, and it's reported that a lot of the yields are down 2 or 3 or 4 times on their normal seasons. This has firstly led to a crisis amongst the farmers who no longer have any money. They've actually made losses on most of their crops. And as a result of this, the government have just announced a $200 million support package for the 1.1 million farmers in Sri Lanka. But the bigger problem here is the fact that Sri Lanka now has a shortage of food. So it's now having to import rice and other basic materials from overseas. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, one of the impacts of what's going on right now in Ukraine is that we're seeing the price of food substances rise dramatically. So this is an absolute nightmare situation for Sri Lanka because they've got a lack of food, the price of overseas food that they need to import has gone up, and they don't have any foreign currency to be able to buy that more expensive food in. Sri Lanka has built up a large amount of debt and currently owes over $50 billion. The country has issued around $12 billion of sovereign bonds and has also taken loans from a variety of sources, including the Asian Development Bank, the IMF, Japan and China. Around $4 billion of its debt burden is due for repayment in 2022, and the largest single upcoming payment is a $1 billion bond that's due in July. As it stands at the moment, Sri Lanka can't even afford to buy fuel and food for its population, so there is absolutely no way that it's going to be able to find $1 billion to be able to repay that bond. So the only options available right now are either a complete restructuring of that debt or a bailout. It's just been announced that Sri Lanka is in discussions with both the IMF and the World Bank about bailout facilities. Now, this isn't the first time that Sri Lanka's found itself in a difficult situation, and over the last 60 years, it's taken 16 different loans from the IMF. No figures have been provided in terms of how much Sri Lanka is looking to borrow this time round, but it's reported to be somewhere in the region of $3 billion. Similar to other developing nations, Sri Lanka operates a managed float of its currency. And over the course of the last 12 months, the exchange rate against the US dollar was roughly around 200 rupees to $1. At the start of March, the Sri Lankan authorities announced a 15% devaluation in the rupee, taking the managed rate to around 230 rupees to the dollar. However, in view of the dwindling amount of US dollars that the country has right now, it's been unable to manage the currency at that level, and continuing pressure on the Sri Lankan rupee over the last few weeks has meant that it's now trading closer to 300 rupees to the dollar. Now, obviously, this represents major problems for the country because they've gone from a rate of 200 to 1 to 300 to 1 in a short space of time. And that means that all imported goods are now 50% more expensive than they were a month ago. And that gives you real perspective on the problems because Sri Lanka are having to import all of its fuel and food resources right now. I wanted to touch briefly in this video on China because China has been a big supporter of Sri Lanka over the last few years and has provided both debt facilities and infrastructure investment. Official figures are hard to find, but it's reported that China has loaned around $8 billion to Sri Lanka through its Belt and Road Initiative. I'm actually working on a separate video for this because, as you may have seen in the press, America has been accusing China of debt trap diplomacy, whereby they make investments into developing countries, and then when that country can't repay any of the money that China has given it, it then steps in and takes over some of the assets. And that has already happened in Sri Lanka. In 2017, the Chinese took a 99-year lease on Hambantota Port after Sri Lanka was unable to meet its obligations. Alongside the IMF bailout, it's also reported that the Chinese are talking about a bailout and providing $2.5 billion of funding. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, clearly what's going on in Sri Lanka right now is really worrying. We've got a humanitarian disaster. We've got population who haven't got enough fuel to be able to heat their homes and for cooking, and they haven't got enough food to be able to survive. So this is an absolute nightmare scenario. And it's been caused by a variety of factors. The pandemic has hit Sri Lanka very hard because they are very dependent upon tourism, but also because they have a lot of factories that are labour dependent. When everybody was told to work from home or stay at home, it meant that all of those factories had to stop operating. So we saw a really big impact on GDP. Sri Lanka has been struggling to recover from that situation, but was making some progress. However, the movement in food and fuel prices that we've seen since Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been the final straw for the country. And the high levels of debt that they've built up over the last 10 years or so are now causing them major problems. They've simply run out of foreign currency. They don't have any dollars. $2.3 billion left in the coffers isn't enough to even see out their debt obligations for this year, which are standing at about $4 billion. But that's the secondary issue. The primary issue here is that they need to find the basics to keep everybody in the country alive and to avoid civil unrest. Sri Lanka had a long-running civil war that only ended in 2009, and the last thing that the authorities want now is to cause more problems amongst the population. The high fuel costs right now are causing blackouts in the country, and that will mean a further negative knock-on impact to all of its industry because none of the factories will be able to operate efficiently whilst they don't have any electricity. So this is another great example of the knock-on impact of what's going on in Eastern Europe right now. We've got an island that's located in Asia that has very little trading relationships with Russia and Ukraine. But because Sri Lanka was in a very fragile situation anyway, it was on the tipping point. And now that we've seen this huge spike in energy and food prices, it's caused them a major problem because they're now having to import at the market rates and they didn't have any money anyway. So this has pushed Sri Lanka over the edge and it's now going to have to get a bailout in a very short space of time. In terms of the impact on the global economy, what we're seeing here is further contagion. I talked recently about what's going on in Egypt and it has similarities to what's happening in Sri Lanka. But what we're seeing is a lot of the developing world who already had problems that were the hangover of all of the COVID issues, they were trying to get back to some elements of sustainability, and the increase in fuel and food prices that we've seen globally has caused major problems in both of these economies, and it's likely that we will see a repeat of this in a variety of other countries. So it won't stop at Egypt and Sri Lanka. We will see other countries either defaulting on its debt or running out of food, having blackouts, not being able to do all of the things that you would expect for a normal day living. So as I've said before, the global economy was sitting on a precipice because we've built up so much debt over the last couple of years. All countries are trying to get back to full employment and back to maximum capacity. And what's happening right now in Ukraine is going to stop that recovery. And as we see more and more countries defaulting on the debt, there will come a point when the global economy just can't cope with any more defaults. I mentioned at the end of the Egypt video that I'm really keen to encourage as many of you as possible to start your YouTube journey. It's not rocket science. You don't need to have a degree in YouTube. You can just switch your phone on and start filming. And as long as you've got some structure and you've got something that you want to talk about and something you're passionate about, that's interesting, that you think other people would like to hear about, then that's all you really need to get started. And what I'm trying to do is put together a channel that would be a good starting place for a lot of these types of journeys. But in order to do that, I need to make sure that that channel is monetized, because the whole point is that I want to share the benefits of monetization on YouTube with all of you guys. It's quite difficult to get to that situation where you've got 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. It takes quite a lot of effort. You need to build up your base. It takes most creators 6 to 12 months to get to that situation. So what I'm trying to do is fast forward that process so that we can get you monetized immediately. Now, in order to do this effectively, I need to build up a separate channel. Now, what I've done, I've taken an old channel that I started around 18 months ago, where I was posting demonstration videos. So these were videos talking about products and different types of things. So you'll see that there's a small number of old videos on there. And I've now linked this channel. So if you look at my homepage, you'll see at the bottom, Joe Blogs 2, there's a link to that. Or if you can't see it on that, then just type in Joe Blogs 2. You'll see that I've set up a logo. It's a black logo with Joe Blogs 2 written on it. It's got 19 videos on that channel, so it's relatively small. If you could go to Joe Blogs 2 and subscribe for me, that would be great, because we need to get 1,000 subscribers for this experiment to work. But in addition to 1,000 subscribers, I also need to get 4,000 hours of viewing time. Now, I think there's around about 2,500 hours of view time already clocked up on that channel over the last 12 months. So if you could watch a video, then that will help us get to that stage where we've actually got enough viewing time, and then the channel will be eligible for monetization, and then we can start the experiment. So hopefully we can get there at some point in the next month or two, and then we can start seeing whether or not this is a viable concept. So thanks for watching today. Hopefully you found this video interesting, informative, and useful. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.